Helen Gray is CEO of the Hertfordshire Community Foundation. That's a registered charity covering the whole of the county. She and I chatted a couple of years ago about the work of the foundation, and I'm particularly interested to find out how it's coped during the pandemic, which of course has affected all the people they serve enormously. We'll come back to that in a minute, but first, Helen, it would be helpful, I think, if you could remind us in a few sentences what exactly the foundation does.
The foundation has been around for just over 30 years. We're a local registered charity, and our primary focus is grant making, and we support really small grassroots organisations who are tackling identified need within their communities. So our grants support a really broad range of social needs, from homelessness to poverty, and obviously over the last year that's been particularly relevant.
And the funding comes from where?
It comes from a broad range of sources, primarily from families and individuals who live in the county. Often people have been really successful and but would like to give something back, and also from local businesses who are very generous, and individuals who give perhaps through our Just Giving pages, and there have been lots of those over the last few months.
Now, the last 10 months, of course, have been pretty tricky for most charities and other community groups, not to mention the rest of us. But with such a wide remit, I guess it's been really quite difficult for the foundation.
Yes, I think like most charities, it's been an exceptionally busy period for HCF. The minute lockdown was announced back in March, which sadly feels like quite a long time ago, HCF within about 48 hours had launched an emergency appeal, and it had also really importantly launched an emergency grant programme. And that was particularly important because within hours of lockdown being announced, we started getting phone calls from really well-established, well-run local groups and organisations who were really, really concerned for their future. They could see the potential impact that lockdown was going to have.
And was this really at that stage, do you think, because they were concerned about the funding, the availability of the funds to do what they want to do, or were they having problems with the volunteers, couldn't do what they should normally do?
Most people's initial concerns were actually about their service users. So if you can't meet people face to face, if you're perhaps providing drug and alcohol addiction counselling, bereavement counselling, those sorts of services, it's very hard to imagine how overnight you can suddenly convert everything to being online and done remotely in safely. And the flip side to all of that, of course, as you've rightly said, is the huge concern over loss of income. The minute you can't charge for paid for services, you can't rent space, you can't hold all those fundraising events that lots of charities run typically year to year, then it will have a really, really dramatic impact on a charity's ability to cover its operating costs and continue to serve the people in the county who really need help.
So how did you react to that situation?
I'm really lucky. I've got a really, really brilliant team around me. It's not a big team, but actually I think all of us work for HCF because we see the real benefit in doing what we do. And we can only do what we do thanks to the donors we are fortunate enough to work with. So actually everyone rallied, everyone put in extra hours. My grants team were phenomenal. They've had to process, I think, something like a 40% increase in grant applications. And it has been relentless. The demand hasn't stopped at all. But we were really lucky. We're lucky that we've had the funding. When you ask me about where does our funding come from, a really important donor that I should mention is actually the National Emergencies Trust. Not everyone has heard of the NET, but actually the NET partnered with all community foundations, all 46 community foundations across the UK, and we all became our sort of local distributor of net funding. And here in Hertfordshire, that amounted to well over £600,000. So it was really significant.
You say the NET is a national body. Where does that money come from?
The National Emergencies Trust was established as a national charity to raise funds in the event of an emergency. And it's not been long established. Obviously, COVID was a national emergency and they rallied very, very quickly. A lot of their income has come from major corporate donations. It's come from other charities like the Garfield Weston Foundation made a really sizable donation very early on. Energy providers, lots of companies have come forward and made very sizable donations, and the NET through other charities and community foundations have been able to distribute funding very, very quickly. One of the things that the UK Community Foundation Network was able to do was to respond quickly. Once funding was available, it went out the door very fast to charities in need. And I think that's down to our knowledge of the local sector and also the relationships we have. We were in a good position, I think, to respond fast.
From what I remember a couple of years ago, that's probably over half or half of what you need to have each year.
In the last couple of years, we've given out over £1 million in grants and we'll easily exceed that this year. But I think what's really marked this year is the increase in demand. And we actually ran a survey back in May. Having launched our emergency grant making programme, we wanted to take stock in May to see actually what is the voluntary sector telling us they need? What are they seeing from their service users? The number one concern amongst almost the entire voluntary sector was the issue over funding. But we also asked people, what are the sort of the key social needs and the issues that you think are going to really get worse as a result of COVID? And mental health was the number one social issue, and it's well documented. But I think the impact of COVID is yet to really be felt, and there's going to be a huge amount of need across the county for months and potentially years to come. So charities like HCF really need to rise to the challenge. We need to raise far more funding because there's more need than there's really ever been.
You anticipated mental health as being a core issue, and you said this to me a couple of years ago, because where there's need and deprivation, the stress and anxiety which comes with it leads to mental health issues.
Absolutely.
And you're saying that's something that you are really going to have to do more of in the future, or that you are already able to help?
We've already given out, I think we've given out over 200 grants since March. We've given out over £1 million since March. Initially, a lot of that funding went to enable charities to start operating remotely. But actually, as charities adapted, and they adapted brilliantly and they adapted quickly, then funding has gone to support services of counselling, bereavement, all those sort of mental health issues, which we know have got worse. And people who work in domestic violence charities have seen a really dramatic increase in calls. And so, yes, we have been supporting those very groups who are doing invaluable work at the moment.
One of the key issues of COVID, of course, was many people have lost their jobs, or if they've been fortunate, they've been furloughed. And this has hit the household income, the individual's income, considerably. And that has had a knock-on effect on the ability to pay rent, the ability to pay for the energy costs, the ability to get food. Are you getting a lot more in that area as well?
We are. One of the funds that we've held for a long time now is called our Children's Fund. And we provide grants of up to £300 to children and families in crisis. And applications come from health visitors, health professionals. And it enables us to buy really basic items like children's beds, washing machines, fridge freezers. And it's amazing, A, to see the levels of deprivation, but B, to see the increase in applications that we're receiving. And you're absolutely right. For people who have either experienced reduced income or lost income, many of them were probably on a bit of a knife's edge anyway with their finances and just being tipped into poverty at this time, when it's clearly very hard to find new employment, I think will place a really sizable strain, sadly, on some local families. So yes, we are already seeing the knock-on effect of that.
I've chatted a couple of times with the manager of the local, the St Albans Food Banks, and she said that they have seen an exponential rise in demand.
Yes.
Which, of course, has coincided with the difficulty for many people who used to leave food in supermarkets and so on. Perhaps they're not going to the supermarket, or it's not so easy to donate, but they've found people giving regular donations of cash instead, which has helped them enormously. Are you getting a lot of small donations coming from people?
We are, and I think because we launched our emergency appeal back in March, over 300 people have donated through our Just Giving pages. And HCF is a charity that operates working with a core number of maybe about 100 really committed donors. And when you run a community appeal like our emergency appeal, it has introduced a lot more people to the work of HCF. And we've got some amazing fundraising stories from the past year. People who've donated their commuting costs because they're no longer travelling to London. Someone donated the cost of their coffee because they weren't buying coffee every morning on their commute. And an amazing lady called Joyce Briggs, who's in her 90s in a nursing home in the county, knitted a Technicolor scarf, and her friends and family sponsored her, and she raised money for HCF. And I had the joy of speaking to her on the phone and was absolutely amazed to hear that she's also visually impaired. So there are amazing people in the county doing amazing things to help others, and it's very heartwarming.
That's a fabulous story. You've talked about a number of desperate needs that you've seen, both from individuals for whom a couple of hundred quid makes all the difference, to groups that are dealing with major issues such as the domestic violence and the mental health that follows on from so many others. How does somebody who needs help actually ask for it? They can't just ring you up and say, can I have a couple of hundred quid? I mean, they have to go through a process, do they?
They do. Sadly, we're not in a position to take calls directly from people in need. So if there's a family listening to this that is in crisis, really needs that emergency investment for a child's bed, bedding, whatever it might be, please ask your health visitor, your health professional, your doctor or a teacher to take a look at our website and look at our children's fund. There are very clear criteria. It's not a hard application process, but I'd encourage people to look at that. I know at the moment the Citizens Advice has got some funding for fuel and food grants, which has come via government and via Herts County Council. But actually, if you need support in the form of a service such as counselling, then yes, generally you can go directly to that charity or at least talk to them to find out how you can be referred. And then if people are listening and perhaps they are concerned they may have mental health problems, or they are victims of domestic violence, or there is something else going on in their life where they do need support, I would probably encourage you, if you're able to go on a good search internet browser and look for a local charity that supports your particular need. And there are charities out there. There are amazing charities in virtually every town area in the county that can help you. And I think people don't always realise that help is available.
And those groups that could help an individual, they can come to you direct. They don't have to go through any other organisation. They can contact you direct. They can apply for an award or a grant.
Most of them can, yes.
You've mentioned a survey which you did, and I remember when we talked last time you were again doing a major research, because you need to know what are the major issues that you are facing or might be facing. And do you continue with this research all the time, surveys, find out where is the areas of needs and deprivation, I think are the two terms that you used?
We do a lot of research, and as you say, one of the reasons why we do it is because we want to ensure that our grant making policy is evidence based. So it's not just us making assumptions about what the need is, it's actually based on genuine research. So at the end of last year, the new indices of multiple deprivation were published, and they're statistics which give you a pretty good indication as to levels of deprivation across small pockets of a county. So we analysed that data, and we'd actually just produced our latest Hertfordshire Matters report, and we were due to launch it in March. Hard copies had arrived in our office, I think probably 24 hours before lockdown was announced, so very regrettably we didn't hold the live event we'd always planned to do, but we did launch the research online in June. And the research doesn't make easy reading, because basically it highlights hidden deprivation, which actually most people living in the county probably wouldn't be aware of and might actually be quite shocked to read about. So we know there are an estimated 25,000 children who live below the poverty line here in the county. And I'd say without exception, all the statistics about the county which we analysed back in March will have become worse since COVID struck. So I think that research has never been more important. It helps people to understand the county better, and it ensures that funding is directed in a strategic way where it's most needed. Back in May, we conducted another piece of research, and it was a survey of the local voluntary sector. And we invited all the groups and organisations that we'd supported in the last few years to take part. And over 200 people responded, which was really great. And that research was used to help inform our ongoing emergency grant making strategy. And it was very interesting to see that 30% of the groups that responded had increased their service delivery as a direct result of the pandemic. A lot of the feedback highlighted the major concerns over funding gaps, and 40% of the respondents said that they would cease to be financially viable beyond May 21. And that's obviously a huge concern to us, because more people will turn to their local voluntary groups as they find themselves in a situation where they or a friend or a relative needs some form of support. And that very often does come from the charity voluntary sector. So that research is important. We plan to rerun a similar piece of research later this year, just to see how the voluntary sector has moved on a year on from the initial lockdown.
hopefully some of those groups who said that they were not financially viable beyond May this year will have found new sources of income. They may have diversified their service or their offering in some way. And one of the really positive things I'd say that has come out of this whole period of change is that the voluntary sector has shown enormous resilience. It's adapted quickly and it's responded in a way that I think should make us all very proud that we live in this county, because local people have done phenomenal things.
But you can't sustain, you can't support all of those groups forever. You only have a limited amount of income, don't you?
You're right, we do have a limited income, and next year I suspect our income will be significantly down on this current financial year, because as lockdown was announced for the very first time, there's a real sense of emergency about what was happening. It was new, people appreciated that a response was required, but the longer that goes on, I think we will experience donor fatigue. It's a very real thing, and HDF has got to work particularly hard to attract new major donors, to encourage people to set up funds with us, because actually it makes a huge, huge difference. And strategically, HDF has now got a major focus on trying to grow its endowment so that we're here for the long term and to enable us to reliably give out more in funding year on year. But actually bringing in new income is a really important part of my job, the team's job. And yes, if anyone is listening who is in a position or who's wanted to do something charitable but just hasn't known quite how, then HCF is a really good place just to have an initial no pressure conversation, because we work with donors who maybe give £5 a month to people who give us £500,000 and want to do something in perpetuity and to set up funds with us. It's much easier to do that than to set up your own charity. We take all the admin away, we take away the need to register as a charity. So in lots of ways, we're a more cost-effective way to manage your charitable giving. So if you just take a look at our website, contact me, contact anyone in the team, we'd be really happy to answer any questions. We love working with that whole spectrum and range of people. It's a real privilege.
And the website address is?
www.heartscf.org.uk.
Now, apart from giving grants, you also support charities and community groups in another way by actually providing them with training, because most of us are amateurs and we need that professional help to know how to do the job. How's that been going during this time? Because it can't do person-to-person training. What are you doing?
Yes, as with everything, it was slightly turned on its head. So overnight, all face-to-face training had to cease. But actually, my small but really perfectly formed training team responded really, really well. And I think within about a month of lockdown, they trained over 1,000 volunteers in the county. You may well be aware that Hertfordshire responded fantastically to the call for volunteers, but those volunteers needed training themselves, and that was all done online. So HCF Training and Development, in partnership with Team Hearts, was able to play a really vital role in ensuring volunteers were upskilled and able to start working very quickly. But as you rightly say, if you work for a charity, if you're a volunteer, it doesn't necessarily mean by default that you understand everything about good governance or fundraising or whatever it might be. That's where HCF Training and Development can really help, particularly trustees. There's a whole range of training available. And if anyone's interested, again, if you look at our website, you can see a list of available training, and it is all online at the moment. And hopefully going forward, there will be some face-to-face training, but I suspect online training will be here to stay.
Well, that's fantastic, Hannah. Thanks for giving up your time to chat today. Thanks also to you and your team and your donors for all the help that you've been able to give to so many people this last year. I hope to speak to you again in easier times.
Yes, that would be lovely. Count me in.
That website again, heartscf.org.uk. And all the information is there about donating or seeking help from the foundation.